open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning to Romans 12, I just want to tell you a quick story. When I was a senior in high school, not too far from here, just down the road at Klein High School, we had a really good soccer team. I hadn't been to many games because I just didn't like soccer. I do now that my kids play, you know, I'm sort of getting into it a little bit, but at the time, didn't really like it, didn't really go to any games, and as a senior, I sort of felt bad because my friends were on the team, and they had won a couple of state championships, and I still hadn't been to a game. So my senior year, they make it to the state championship again, and me and a buddy decide, you know what, we're finally going to go. We're going to go to a game, and we're going to see what this whole thing's about. We're going to be good friends. We're going to encourage them and cheer them on. And so we did. A Thursday night, me and a buddy drove over to Austin. My parents were permissive and let us go and do that. And so we get to Austin. They fought a hard, great game, and they lost. So it was good that we hadn't been to other games. They never let us live that down. The one game we show up to, they lose, and it's the state championship, right? So we're coming back now, a little bit, maybe feeling like it's our fault, and we're driving down the road. I'm driving my friend's car. He drove the way there. He was tired. I'm driving us home, and we're on 290 in between Houston and Austin. You ever been there? Right? Okay, so you know there's patches where there's just nothingness, right? It's just dark, there's nothingness. I'm passing an 18-wheeler in the left-hand lane, and I'm flying past them, and then all of a sudden, I wasn't. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm going backwards, and the 18-wheeler is just cruising past, and the car begins to make these noises that it wasn't supposed to make. And we're thinking, all right, this isn't good. And we sort of roll to a stop right underneath a sign. The sign said, 13 miles to Giddings, Texas. I looked at Kyle, and I said, hey, where's your phone? His phone was dead because he'd been on the phone with his girlfriend most of the drive. So his phone didn't work. I was in high school at a time when I didn't have a cell phone. And so we didn't have a choice. We were like, well, I guess it's Giddings, Texas. Here we go. Right? It's midnight. We get out and we start walking down this road. And we were 18 and we were guys and we couldn't admit this to one another, but we were scared, right? We were just a little bit nervous about what was going to happen as we walked down this road. I was nervous at the prospect of having to walk 13 miles, to be real honest with you, but we were just nervous about what was ahead. We were nervous about what was going to come. Well, listen, it was dark, right? There's no streetlights out there. We couldn't see the road in front of us. We could just see a little bit, but we couldn't see what was coming ahead. We couldn't see the things that we were going to run into. And there was this major level of uncertainty in our hearts and our lives as we walked down this road. And then every now and then, something would happen. Every now and then, we would hear these loud noises, and we would turn around, and we'd see 18-wheelers flying up the road behind us. And they're a lot bigger when you're standing on the side of the road than when you're in your car, right? But they're flying down the road, and so we would turn around and stick a thumb up, try to get in with them, and nobody wanted to pick us up. That's okay. They would go past, but this is what they did do. Every time an 18-wheeler came by, their headlights would light up the road in front of us. The headlights didn't point all the way to Giddings. It didn't point down the entire rest of the road. But what these headlights would do, they would light up the road right in front of us, and they would begin to show us the way. And I think that in life, all of us have found ourselves in situations like that, right? Maybe not literally stuck on the side of the highway, but found ourselves in situations where we're just unsure about what's next, where we're unsure about that next step that we take and where it's going to land, right? We find ourselves in situations like that when it comes to our families, when it comes to our health, maybe our school year, our money, our relationships. Listen, there's a lot of uncertainty that surrounds what's going on in life. Listen, we all find ourselves in moments where we just have to come before the Lord, desperately seeking and desperately needing a word from Him. Listen, I was reminded of that this week, reminded in our series on Isaiah that God has spoken and that God does continue to speak right here through His Word. You remember what God's Word says when we're facing those times of uncertainty in Psalm 119, 105? Your Word is what? It's a lamp. Right? Your word is a lamp to my feet. Here we go. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So my hope and my prayer is this, right? If I lose you in just a minute, I just cement this into your mind that God's word lights our way forward. No matter what we're walking through, no matter what uncertainty we might feel personally in our family, in our marriages, in our relationships, that God's word always lights the way forward and gives us the confidence for us to take the next step. And so knowing that, in seasons of uncertainty, where do we turn? We turn to God's Word, right? As we've prayed and as we've wrestled with Scripture this week, God's led us to Romans chapter 12. You've already opened up there. Look down at verse 12. Incredible verse. There's three short phrases in the verse that we want to walk through this morning. Romans 12:12, God's word says this: rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Listen, God's word, it gives us three action steps. God's word gives us a plan. God's word gives us a lamp, a light. It's headlights on a road that we're walking on when we aren't exactly sure where to go. And in this passage, that first glimpse of light, right, the first 18 wheeler coming down the road to light the path is this, very simply, rejoice in hope. God's word calls us to rejoice in hope, and that is a loaded phrase. There is so much going on, so much for us to unpack, and we've got to make sure of this, that we get the words right as we read God's word. So rejoice, what does it mean? Be joyful. Have a happy heart, right? Be happy, be joyful about what's going on. Listen, does anybody like to be joyful? Like it more than the alternative, right? Right, joy is a good thing. God's word is calling us to have joy, but sometimes it's hard. Right, my three-year-old every now and then walks around and he's not joyful. So if you're teaching him next hour in life groups, you know that, and I apologize to you for some of those moments. But he walks around with his arms crossed and tucked in way up high, and that bottom lip is stuck out, and he's got this scowl on his face. And sometimes Chelsea and I just have to look at him and say, dude, have a happy heart. What is going on with you right now? Because that's what this rejoicing is about. It's about what's going on in our hearts. So as we read God's word, right, the obvious question is this: rejoice in what? You know, this letter written to the church in Rome, the early Christians might not have had a ton to be joyful about, right? Maybe they were in pretty uncertain and tough circumstances a lot of the time. I want us to lock into God's word this morning. Rejoice in hope. Listen, our joy is in hope. Our joy is in hope. We're building this sentence. I want you to think about the word hope for just a minute and think about the ways that you might use the word hope. Here's the way that we use it at our house. Last night, we're sitting down with the kids. The Astros were on, and I say, man, I hope that the Astros are going to make the World Series. I'm hoping that it happens again this year. We were watching the Aggie game next. So that was my house last night, by the way, Astros and Aggies. We're watching the Aggie game next, and I said, guys, man, I hope in just a couple of weeks, Kevin, that my Aggies can beat Alabama. Might take more than hope, but I'm hoping that the Aggies can beat Alabama. My kids use the word hope like this. Man, I hope Dad gets home from work early enough tonight on time to maybe play baseball in the backyard or to take us fishing over at the lake or to wrestle up in our room. Students, you might use hope like this. Man, I hope that I make the team. You might be thinking, man, I hope, and your parents are echoing this, I hope I pass that test tomorrow. We use it in more serious ways too, right? We might be thinking, man, I hope that when the doctor calls this week, I get a good report. We might be thinking, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to wrestle with this. But I hope that something happens and my marriage begins to get better. We've used the word hope when it comes to our jobs, right? We just might be thinking, I hope that this week I get a call back and I get that job that I've been going after, because I don't know what we're going to do if we don't get that next paycheck to come in. You see the pattern with the word hope? A lot of times when we use the word hope, it's an expression of uncertainty, right? We're not exactly sure about the future, about what's going to happen. We have a way that we'd like it to go, but we're just not sure. When we read God's word, it says rejoice in hope. Paul's not thinking about this in uncertain terms. Paul's writing about biblical hope. And you and I need to understand, when we look at biblical hope is different. Biblical hope is an expectation about the future. Biblical hope is a confident expectation for something good from God in the future. Listen, the world is uncertain. It's going to continue to be uncertain. But our hope as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, our hope is different. Listen, we expect and are confident that God can and will work all things together for His glory and our good. So as we're looking for that light to shine the way forward in our lives, in our church, listen, we've got to remember that we can rejoice in hope, that we can be joyful in our hearts because we have confidence in God. So look back at the phrase again, rejoice in hope, be joyful with expectation. What is that hope in? Right? Rejoice in hope, rejoice with this confident expectation. We've got to remember that the book of Romans in our Bible is a letter. It's being written, it's a longer letter than I've ever written, right? But it's a letter to a church, it's a letter to believers. And in Romans 5:2, which they would have already read up to this point, we see that our hope, their hope, our hope is in the glory of God and nothing else. Our hope is in the glory of God. And they would have understood that. And hopefully we can understand that we can have hope because we know Jesus. We can have hope because we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Listen, we just walked through Isaiah chapter 6. We spent 3 weeks looking at Isaiah's encounter when he came face to face with the glory of God. And so we saw that we encountered the glory of God. Everything changed for him. Nothing was the same. He was purified. He was cleansed. He was sent out. And so when you and I, we've got to remember this, when we encounter God, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are made children of God. And now, confidently, our hope is in Him and all that He's done for us, all that He's done in us, all that He's done through us. And because of that, guys, we can rejoice in hope. So, when things seem uncertain, when we're not exactly sure where the next step is going to land, when we're not sure what lays ahead for us on the road, we can be confident in God. We can rejoice in hope. In our hearts, we can have joy because as children of God, we have confidence that God alone is in control of the outcome. And listen, that applies to us no matter where we're at this morning or what uncertainty we might be walking through. If there is uncertainty in your family right now, we can rejoice in hope because we are confident in God. If there is uncertainty in your health right now, we can rejoice in hope because of our confidence in God. If there is uncertainty in our church right now, listen, we can rejoice in hope because our hope is in what? It's not in us. Our hope is in the glory of God. And that's it, the glory of God. But sometimes, even when we're walking down that road, even when God has cemented that and sealed that and soaked that in to our hearts, we're still going to feel it emotionally when we walk through tough times, right? I mean, we're not immune to emotions. We're not immune to things going on in our heart and our soul, and I completely understand it. I feel those exact same things. You know, emotions are there. They're in us. Emotions are in God's Word. Psalm 42, verse 5 says this, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" Have you ever felt like that? Cast down? Have you ever had this turmoil that's just sort of churning in your heart and in your soul? Listen, some of us can identify with that right now. Some of us are walking through seasons of life where that's where we're at. All of us at some point, though, I'm sure have been there so we can relate to what's going on and understand the feeling. I had 15 years, just amazing, incredible years in the student ministry here at Champion Forest Baptist Church. And one of my favorite things to do that I still get to do fairly often, I love to sit down and open up God's Word with people. I love to sit down and open up God's Word with students and walk through life, help them to navigate life with what? With God's Word as the lamp, with God's Word lighting the way forward. And in the last several years, I have had so many conversations with students or with people that have come to me and identified with Psalm 42:5 that have said, listen, I trust God. I know that God has a plan. I know that things are going to be better. I know that God is in control, but my soul is in turmoil. And I am just wrestling. I am struggling with what's going on right now. And as we would sit down, as we would pray, as we would dig in to God's Word, something that I've encouraged myself with over and over, that I encourage our students with as we've sat down and read through the Psalms together is this. When they would bring me a Psalm like 42:5, I would just say this. Listen, guys, I understand it. I get it. I've been right there. Sometimes I am right there. But listen, we've got to finish the Psalm. We can't stay there. God's Word continues and goes on. Psalm 42:5, it doesn't end with a soul in turmoil. Let me read the whole thing. It says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" The next three words are this, hope in God. Hope in God. That's a three-word sermon that we can preach to ourselves over and over and over again. If you're taking notes, write that real big on your paper somewhere. Hope in God. It's a sermon that we're always needing to preach to ourselves. And if I could, I just want to get a little personal here. It's a sermon I preach to myself maybe 1,000 times this week. Hope in God. No matter what we're walking through, when we see uncertain roads ahead, when we're not sure where our next step's going to be, how our next footstep is going to land, we have to do what God's word says. We have to hope in Him. Listen, my hope, your hope, our hope together, no matter what we walk through, our hope is in God. And because of that, look at God's word, we can have what? We can have joy. Life has. It's going to continue to have uncertainties. It's going to continue to have challenges. You might feel like you don't have light for your path. You might not be sure of what's ahead in the road. You're not sure of your next step. When you find yourself there, preach this message to yourself. Hope in God. And listen, it doesn't mean this, right? It doesn't mean that we're just crossing our fingers and wishing for the best. Biblical hope is what? Biblical hope is confident. Biblical hope is confident trust in God. William Carey, the great missionary, said it best, talking about hope in God. He said, expect great things from God. So in everything that we walk through, right, no matter what we're facing, no matter how we feel, that's something that we can preach to ourselves over and over again. Romans 15:4 reminds us that Scripture was written for a purpose. Scripture was written so that we could have hope. That's another reminder to me and hopefully to all of us that we need to be in God's Word regularly, soaking up God's Word. And as we do, the hope in our hearts is strengthened and we can continue to expect God to do great things. As we read this, we've got to understand and know that this isn't necessarily a promise that we're always going to understand why things are the way they are in the moment. This is a confident expectation that God will do great things and that He will use every situation, listen, for our good and for His glory. We see it in Romans 8:28. So here's my prayer. My prayer for you, for us, is that no matter what we're walking through in our lives, right, no matter what level of uncertainty we're facing right now, in any range of things from family to finances to marriage to school, no matter what we're walking through, I pray that for us individually, and I pray that for us as a church family with what we're walking through, we can have this confident expectation that God can and that God will do great things in and through each one of us individually and together as we walk forward as a church. So look down in your Bibles. Look at Romans 12, verse 12, and soak up those first couple of words. Tell your heart right now, just tell your heart over and over, we can rejoice because our hope is in God. My hope is in God. When you find yourself on 290 in the middle of the night or anywhere, right, where you're on that uncertain road, listen, let me just encourage you. You can take the next step. It's God's words lighting the path and telling us what we need to do. We can take the next step knowing, expecting, counting on the fact that God can and will do great things. And it's because of the hope we read about that we have confidence, that we can be patient in times of tribulation. Look back at the verse, that next step that God lines out for us this morning, that next glimpse of light on our path in times of uncertainty is this, that we can be patient in tribulation. When our hope is in God, when our confidence is in God, we can be patient when we walk through times of suffering. I want you to look at that word tribulation, right? This is a big, big deal. This is not talking about stubbing your toe on the way to the refrigerator, right? Tribulation here is not referring to the emotions or the inner turmoil you feel when your favorite TV show is canceled, right? That is not tribulation. My son left his red top chocolate chip cookie on our kitchen table earlier this week and the dog got it. My son felt like he was walking through this deep sense and tribulation in his life, but that's not what's going on here in the verse. Tribulation is direct suffering, right? Tribulation is pain that's happening in the moment, right then, right now, suffering in someone's life. Tribulation is no small matter. It's no trivial thing, and God's word is calling us to be patient in the midst of that kind of suffering, that kind of tribulation. How do we do that? Look in God's word, the first part of the verse. Our hope, our confidence now is in God. And with that strength and with that hope, we can do what God's word tells us to do next. We can be patient. That's a theme throughout the New Testament for followers of Jesus, this patience, this steadfastness under trial. And I just want to remind us that it's not a passive thing. This is an active thing. This is a faithful endurance. This is a call to be steadfast and to remain faithful in times of trouble. And when we do that, when we're able to remain faithful because our hope and our confidence is in God, man, God works in our hearts in profound ways. God changes us. God shapes us. God draws us deeper and closer in that love relationship with Him. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, "Count it all joy. Count it joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. They have a purpose, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Listen, you might be walking through something right now. I trust probably a lot of us are. Our encouragement from God's word, right, the light for our path, the way that we're supposed to take that next step forward is to be patient, trusting and knowing that God is at work. Listen, this isn't new. This isn't original to us. We see it all throughout God's word, right? Starting in the Old Testament and working our way to the new. We see that Abraham had to wait a long time for the son that God promised him. Moses had to spend a lot of time in the desert with people that... Anyway, Moses had to spend a lot of time in the desert with people that were grumbling as they followed after him. He just didn't know what was next. David, right? He had to wait for the job of king that God had promised him. Mary and Joseph had to wait for clarity on this baby that the angels had told them about. David, or sorry, even the disciples in the New Testament had to wait for direction. And every time, every season of patience, of trust, God prepared his people. God prepared his children for what they will walk through. So as we look at God's word, as our hope is in God, we can be patient, we can be faithful, we can remain steadfast no matter what road we walk down. It doesn't mean we won't have questions. It doesn't mean that we're always going to understand it. And listen, God knows that, which is why this sentence ends the way that it does. Being confident in God and patient in tribulation, they're only possible for us when we are constantly communicating with the Father. Look back at Romans 12, verse 12. What comes next? What are the last four words? It's be constant in prayer, right? Be constant in prayer. I heard Stephen Tranmill this week say, commit to pray every step of the way. I'm not really a rhyming guy, but if that helps you, commit to pray every step of the way, right? Listen, I said it a few minutes ago, I have been preaching constantly to myself this week. And as I got to this part of the verse, I'm reminded that constantly I need to take every thought captive and go before the Father in prayer. And as we read this verse, be constant in prayer, it might be a little overwhelming. Some of us might be thinking right now, I don't know that if I can constantly pray every minute, every second of every day, that's a real challenge for me. And listen, if God's calling you to that, do it and pray every second of every day. But in God's word, that's not necessarily the call here. The call here is that we are persistent in prayer, that we keep at it, that we are devoted to a life of prayer, that we're not slacking off, but rather that our prayer lives are consistent before the Father. Right, listen, constant, that word that's right there in our Bibles, it is the opposite of random. Right, constant is the opposite of when it's convenient. Constant is the opposite of every now and then. Listen, God's word, remember, the light that we're walking in right now, God's word, our light, our step forward this morning is calling us to be constant in prayer, to be persistent in prayer, to have a life that's modeled by prayer. John Piper talks about prayer this way. He says, treat prayer the way you treat eating and sleeping and doing your job. Treat prayer the way you treat eating and sleeping and doing your job. You know what he's saying? He's saying have a plan. Have a plan when it comes to prayer. Example, let's do a little test here. Where are you eating lunch today? You are eating lunch today, right? Have you thought that far ahead? Right? We've made a plan that we're going to eat lunch today. Right? We've planned that out. We've thought through probably what our afternoon looks like. We've thought through when we're going to bed tonight. We've thought through when we're waking up tomorrow. We've thought through our school schedule for tomorrow, our work schedule for tomorrow. We've thought through all of the responsibilities that are going to be on us this week. We've made a plan for that. God's word here, when it calls us to be constant in prayer, saying that we will make a plan to pray. We will be a praying people. Church, I can't tell you enough that communication with God is vital in the walk and in the life of a believer. God works. God transforms our hearts before when we come before Him in prayer. So, let's walk in the light that He's given us. Let's be constant in prayer. Well, prayer for what? What are we supposed to pray for? How should our prayer life look? What are these steps that we're supposed to take? Listen, we're in that season of life where we're continuing to teach our kids how to pray, right? And our 8-year-old, I think that he's got it, and he is genuinely talking with God when he comes before the Lord in prayer. Our 5-year-old, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And our 3-year-old, we can definitely see that he is learning a little bit of how to pray from our 5-year-old. Because our 3-year-old, when he ends his prayers, he doesn't end with amen, he ends with the end. Or I'm done. Or that's it. Or what's next, right? He gets to the end. But we're in the season where we're continuing to teach how to pray. And it's so good because God's Word, we don't have to do it on our own. God's Word teaches us how to pray. And there's so many patterns for prayer in Scripture. So when God's Word this morning calls us to be constant in prayer, let me just give us a model, right? You might have a model. If you do, that's great. Keep using it. If you don't, there's a great picture in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, where Paul shows us what his prayer life looks like. And just write that down, Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. We don't have time to read that entire passage this morning, but let me give you the pattern, just 3 steps that Paul has for us. The first thing that he does when he comes before God is he gives thanks. He's not asking for anything. He's not making requests. He is giving thanks to God. And the thing that he gives thanks for is believers. Right, he's giving thanks for the church, for the faith of the church, the steadfastness of the church, the unity of the church. Paul goes before God with a heart of thanksgiving, and he thanks God for the church. And we know we're called to do that in Scripture, not just for the church, but for all the things that God has given us in our lives. So we give thanks when we come before God in constant prayer. The second thing he does is he asks God to meet needs. He immediately shifts from thanksgiving to making his requests made known before God. And you want to know what he asked God for first? It wasn't health, it wasn't wealth, it wasn't family stuff, it wasn't other dynamics. You know what he asked God for first? He asked God that he could know God more. He asked God for a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding, a deeper sense of wisdom. He asked that God would grant him and the church the knowledge of God, that they would walk closely and more intimately with God. So as we pray to God and ask him for the things that we need in our life, that's scriptural, that's biblical. We need to ask him for our needs, but we need to remember that our number one need in this life is to know God more deeply and more intimately so we can walk with him each and every day. So we give thanks to God. We ask God to meet our needs. And then I just love how this ties in with the passage that we're reading this morning here. Paul next closes by praying for hope. He prays that the believers, that the church would know hope, not uncertainty, that they would know confidence because of who they are, who we are in Jesus Christ. So let that be a model for you. Pray those things. Give thanks. Ask God to meet needs and pray for hope. Let it be a reality in your life. Let it be a reality in your home as you constantly go before the Father in prayer. Would you look back at your Bibles with me? Romans 12, 12. 3 phrases. Rejoice in hope. Let's have joy in our hearts because we're confident that God is up to something good. Be patient in tribulation. Listen, because we know God's at work, we can stay faithful in seasons of uncertainty or suffering, and then be constant in prayer. God's Word calls us to walk intimately with the Father so that we can know Him, and so that you and I, so that our church can rejoice in hope. All 3 of these things are vital to us as individuals and as a church family as we walk with Jesus. Because listen, we're going to find ourselves on the side of the road. We're going to find ourselves feeling like we're stuck somewhere. We're going to find ourselves in seasons of life where we're just not sure how to get forward. And honestly, we're probably going to find ourselves there more than once. This morning, I'm not sure what's going on in your heart. I'm not sure what it is you personally, individually are walking through. But I think all of us have been in situations where we didn't know what to do, where we didn't know what the future held, where we found ourselves looking for solid footing. We found ourselves trying to get a glimpse of the road ahead, wondering where that next step is going to be. And listen, my hope and my prayer is this, that we would let God's Word, right, not fear, not trouble, not our own opinions, but that we would let God's word light our path and give us that direction forward. So this morning, as a church, as a family, as we continue to walk forward, let's walk forward hoping in God, knowing that He's working in each and every one of our hearts, and that God, through His word, is lighting our path forward.
We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. If you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.